With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We thank Allah, we praise Him. He is the Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge, as well as the Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the worlds. We seek Allah's aid. We beg for His mercy and His forgiveness. We put our complete faith and trust in Him. Mighty and sublime is He. We bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He is without partners or associates, and there's nothing like unto Him. To Him be the dominion or the rule. To Him be all unqualified praise, and He has power over all things. We further witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, that he is Allah's slave, servant, and His messenger. And we pray the prayers and the peace be on him, his family, his descendants, the companions, the righteous all. Brothers and sisters, I extend that peace to you, ayyuhal muslimun, and on you also be the peace. Ameen. Wa amma ba'd, and what follows of that salutation. Seeking refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy, and with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah says in Surah Al-Tawbah in the Quran, the 36th ayah, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The number of the months in the sight of Allah is 12 in a year. So ordained by Him, the day He created the skies and the earth, of them four are sacred. That is the straight usage. So wrong not yourselves therein, and fight the pagans all together as they fight all together against you. But know that Allah is with those who restrain themselves. We say Sadaqallahu Azeem, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Brothers and sisters, our topic for today's Jummah comes from this verse. And it's simply, the months before Allah are 12, four of them are sacred, and among them is the month of Muharram. Dear family, that's the month that we're in. I know we're geared towards the West, the Gregorian calendar. This is September, the beginning of September. But the Muslim community, using the lunar calendar, has just entered into our new year about 7 days ago. They say today is the 7th of Muharram. So we're in the year 1441. What that means is it's been 1,441 years since Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, left Mecca 13 years into his mission and migrated to Medina Munawwara, the city of enlightenment. Praise be to Allah. So we have 12 months in the Gregorian calendar, and it's no different for us, but we have the lunar calendar. So Allah says that from the beginning He ordained 12 months, and He said four of them are sacred. Now, I'm going to share with you in the second part of the khutbah, I'm going to share a hadith of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, where he mentions the four. What you might find interesting, it's special, and as sacred as Ramadan is to us, the ninth month of the lunar calendar, the month of Ramadan, Ramadan is not one of the four. But Muharram is. This is one of the sacred months. So Allah is telling us to pay attention to this, to increase your good deeds. But Allah is also telling us, even though this is the sacred month, if you are attacked by the enemy, I'm not going to shackle your hands. You are allowed to defend yourself even in this sacred month. And brothers and sisters, there was a period of time that I was noticing that during the month of Ramadan in particular, many of the Muslim nations were engaged in war. I'm not talking about 1,441 years ago. I'm talking about in my lifetime, in recent history. What a lot of people don't know, is that the Battle of Badr, one of the most significant battles in our history, took place in the month of Ramadan. So my brothers and sisters, we have to put all of this in perspective. And Allah says, But know that Allah is with those. Yusuf Ali says restrain himself. Restrain themselves. Do you notice that even in the verse in the Quran where Allah says, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it prescribed for those before you, that you may learn self-restraint. What's interesting is that the Arabic word that Yusuf Ali uses here in Surah Tawbah, the 36th ayat, and in Surah Baqarah, the 183rd, the word is taqwa. The word is taqwa. So Allah says He is with those who practice regardfulness, God consciousness, reverence and respect for the Creator. Abu Bakr radiallahu an, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the year is 12 months, of which four are sacred. Three of them are consecutive. Now you all forgive me if I mispronounce these months. Three of them are consecutive. The first one is the month of Qadah, which is the 11th month. The month of Dhul-Hijjah, which we just left, which is the 12th month. And the month of Muharram, which is the first month. But they're considering them consecutive. And then it says that the month of Rajab, which comes between Jumada and Shaban, is the fourth month. Ramadan is not in there. Brothers and sisters, the other thing that I want to point out, because we're going to talk extensively in the second part of the khutbah of this Muharram. I was asked a question recently by my wife about this, because certain Muslims, and I don't know, Brother Muhammad Chaudhry might be able to tell us what maybe his culture, the Pakistani culture, is Muslim, if they do anything special. But there's this idea, one of the brothers was asking, are you all going to do something special for the 10th of Muharram? Are we going to have a party? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Well, brothers and sisters, bear with me. Let's look at the way Muhammad the Prophet of Allah, peace, told us we should celebrate this special time. And let us be aware and be careful of, beware and be careful of innovations in the religion. Just like we have Muslims celebrate the Prophet's birthday in front of the feast. And they may say there's no harm in that. We always want to honor the Prophet, but when you elevate it to the level of a must and that you're always doing it, now you're introducing something that he himself did not want. The Prophet, upon him be peace, is reported to have said, do not make over my grave like the Christians made over the Christ. Upon them both be the prayers and the peace. As I sit down for this part of the khutbah, sometimes you and I wonder about the authenticity of ahadith. We say hadith. Ahadith is just the plural form of hadith. Instead of saying hadiths, we say ahadith. That's plural. Instead of saying masjids, we say masajid, plural. The point is this, in Sahih Bukhari, which is one of the most authentic collections of the traditions of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, he says in his introduction, in his commentary, that Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, said, has been reported to have said, if somebody reports to you a saying of mine and it contradicts the Quran, know of a surety, I did not say it. We have categories of Muslims that elevate the hadith equal, and sometimes they repeat the hadith so much we think it's more important than the Quran. But the Quran is the only unadulterated book. The Quran has never been changed. The Quran is protected. You can't even corrupt it if you want to, because Allah has charged himself with its preservation. So the first revelation 1,441 years ago to the final revelation 23 years later, then fast forward another 1,430 something years, those verses that were revealed entirely in Muhammad the Prophet's lifetime are preserved and unchanged. Now, Shakir, you said all that to say what? This is how you measure and gauge, because there's too many ahadith. There's no way we can memorize all these ahadith. But all of us have heard hadith that got us scratching our head or moving our kimah. This don't sound like the Prophet. This don't sound like his spirit. And it contradicts the Quran. Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, says, Allah has given me the Quran and something like it. What is like it? His authentic traditions. Now let's make the point. You heard the verse I just read about from the Quran about the months being 12. Didn't you hear when I read the hadith, it almost sounded exactly like the Quran? Did you catch that? Okay, some of y'all didn't catch it. Abu Bakr radiallahu an said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the year is 12 months, of which 4 are sacred. Isn't that what I read in the Quran? You're going to find that often, and that's how you solidify and verify and confirm the authenticity. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanah wa fi akhirati hasanah wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, we pray for the best that this world has to offer, and we pray for the next, that the best that the next world has to offer. And please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Amen. Allahu Akbar. Again, family, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we give Allah the complete and perfect praise. He is the Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge. And sisters and brothers, we bear witness that whom Allah doth guide, there is no one that can misguide. And we also bear witness, and listen to how I say this, who Allah allows to stray, there can be no guide. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All of us are pretty much aware that there are certain practices of the Prophet, upon him be peace, where he fasted outside of Ramadan. We experienced one during the month of Dhul Hijjah, which was the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, or the day of Arafat, that we were encouraged to fast, and the reward of that fast was 2 years of the forgiving of sin. I'm going to say this now, and I think most of us already know this, but the scholars take the time to say this, so I'm going to say it. When we're told that our sins will be forgiven for 2 years, in this case, the previous year and the year coming, what we're talking about is minor sins. Don't think that you can blow off your major obligations and then fast a couple days a year and then you're all good. You ain't made a salat since 1999, but you think you can just fast. That's not what that is. We're talking about the minor sins. If you stay away from the major sins and you only have minor sins, then you're rewarded and increased even more. So I just wanted to give us the perspective. Because somebody may be new to the faith, or somebody be thinking, you know, all I got to do is fast a day of Ashura, fast a month, a day of Arafat, I'm good. No. Not necessary. So the 10th of Muharram, which I believe is going to be Monday. Today is the 7th. So Monday's the 10th, inshallah. And you are encouraged to fast on that day. Now I'm going to say a little bit more about that. So what is this day of Ashura? First of all, family, I want you to know the day of Ashura began before Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace. We may have named it Ashura, But the practice predated the prophet, upon him be peace. What happened? Moses, upon him be peace, used to fast the 10th of Muharram. Maybe it wasn't called that, because don't forget, our Jewish brothers go by the lunar calendar also, though they may give it Hebrew names. I don't know what their months are called. But all of us are aware, Christians and Muslims are aware of the great deliverance that Allah did for Moses, upon him be peace, and his community, when Pharaoh and his hosts were chasing Moses, and they came upon the sea, and they felt that their back was against the wall, and the reports say that the sea opened up and allowed Moses and his people to walk on dry land, and then the water drowned Pharaoh and his host. So Moses, to show gratitude, appreciation to Allah for delivering him, would fast the day of Ashura. Allahu Akbar. So Ashura commemorates the day that Allah saved the children of Israel from Pharaoh. Fasting on Muharram 10th, known as the day of Ashura, expedites sins for only 1 year. Arafat, 2 years. The year before and the year ahead. Ashura is just the previous year, the past year. When Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Medina in the year 622, his mission began in approximately 610 CE. So 12 to 13 years later, he arrives in Medina. And who's in charge of Medina? Our Jewish brothers. We have the Ansars there, but our Jewish brothers are in charge of Medina. So when he gets to Medina, he notices that on the 10th of Muharram, our Jewish brothers are fasting, and he inquires about this. Why are you fasting on the 10th day? He didn't know the story. He didn't know the history. So he was told why. And then when he heard that they were doing it out of remembrance of Moses, gratitude to Allah, his comment was, we are closer to Moses than you are. This is what he told the Jews of Medina. And then he turns to his companions and orders them, fast on the day of Muharram. So brothers and sisters, in the beginning, it was an obligation for us to fast on the day, on the 10th of Muharram, but today it's optional. To give you fast forward, to give you the history, this event took place in history before Allah revealed in the Quran that Ramadan is the month of fasting. So this happened prior to that. Once Allah revealed that Shahru Ramadan al-Ladhi, that the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran came down, as huda, as guidance, those of you home fast, etc., that, I'm going to use a $2 word, abrogated the previous commandment. Now again, brothers and sisters, I'm taking this time to do this because depending on what school of thought Muslims follow or where they are in their own commitment, they will make you feel like you must do certain things that are optional. Or strongly encourage or recommend it. I found myself in a situation, I'm going to leave this vague. I found myself in a situation where a Muslim fasts basically every Monday and Thursday after the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace. And then he found himself in a special situation that was not planned, that was prompt to, where all of his family members had the opportunity to go out and eat lunch together. And this individual would not break the fast to take advantage of that special situation with the family when Mondays and Thursdays are optional. You know, brothers and sisters, the Prophet has made it clear that I can get up on Thursday and decide to fast and get all the way to 3 in the afternoon and say, I'm not feeling too good, and break my fast, and there's no consequence. Why do we put these undue burdens on ourselves when Allah is so merciful and kind? I think you all get the point. So don't get it twisted. Muharram is optional. The day of Arafat is optional. But some things are strongly recommended. Some things are highly encouraged. And there's multiple blessings and reward for doing it, and no punishment for abandoning it. The Prophet ﷺ said, I already shared that with you, that we're closer than Moses. Now, what else is the day of the day of Ashura about? The day of Ashura is also believed to be the day that Noah's ark rested on the Mount Judah, and he too fasted as a way of thanking Allah. This is to have taken place the same day that Moses and his people, I'll say the same date that Moses and his people were saved from Pharaoh. Just want you all to know what this day is all about. Now, our Shiite brothers, they fast for the day of Ashura, on the day of Ashura, for additional reasons. You know, they are very much connected to the family of the Prophet, upon him be peace, and they're very much followers of Ali, may God be pleased with him. So the Prophet's grandson, Hussein, may God be pleased with him, was killed on the 10th of Muharram. So they fast. And, you know, they're very much, I got to be careful how, no, I don't have to be careful. Some of the way that they honor family members, to me, is getting dangerously close to shirk, to ascribing and associating partners. This is not a bash on them. They're our brothers. Our basic beliefs are the same, but they have some aspects and beliefs that are different from those so-called Sunni Muslims. So just for your information, this day of Ashura has a special place for our Shiite brothers because of the assassination of Hussein radiallahu anhu at that time. And I'm also told, just like the name Allah existed before Muhammad the Prophet, the day of Ashura was known by the ignorant Arabs. They knew about the day of Ashura. As I begin to conclude, family, what if the day of Ashura falls on a Friday or a Saturday? Because the traditions also tell us it is not recommended that you single out a Friday or a Saturday and fast by themselves. Why? We don't want to fast on Friday because of Juma Day, and we don't want to fast on Saturday because that's a sacred day to our Jewish brothers, as far as singling it out. But if I fast Friday and Saturday, that's okay. If I fast Thursday and Friday, that's okay. If I fast Saturday and Sunday, that's okay. So there's been a discussion, what if Ashura falls on a Saturday or a Friday? The scholars say it is okay for you to single out that day because of the special nature of it. Don't worry about combining it with another day. Fast on that Friday with the intention of Ashura. Fast on that Saturday with the intention of Ashura. And as you study this, you're going to find out that some scholars want to recommend that you fast the 9th and 10th all the time. I'm talking about the 9th and 10th of Ashura, back to back. Why? Because Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, is reported to have said, because they pointed out to him. See, there was always, I feel like I'm rushing this. Are y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
Because I am rushing.
It's okay.
There are many reports and traditions of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, where he encourages us to distinguish ourselves from non-Muslims. The beard, the way we grow the beard, is one aspect of that. So, when it was pointed out to him about the Jews fasting on Saturday, He said, I want to be different than the Jews, so we're going to add the ninth. They fast on the 10th, we're going to add the ninth to distinguish ourselves. And what he said was, in the last year of his life, if I'm alive next year, we will fast the 9th of Muharram and the 10th of Muharram. And he died before the next year. So he never actually did that. He only fasted the 10th in his life, but some schools of thought say because it was his intention. And if he was still alive, we should fast the 9th and the 10th. I'm going to leave that up to you. The evidence is strong that the 10th is all that we're concerned about. Next. There's the question, what if you have days of Ramadan to make up? Will you get credit for your Ashura? Will you still got to make up 3 days of your fard? Will you get credit for an optional when you have an obligation to make up? The scholars came to this conclusion, and I support this conclusion. Yes, it is okay to make an intention for a sunnah even though you owe a fard, because the rules for making up the fast, you have a whole year to make it up. So you're not doing anything wrong, because by the time Muharram comes along, it's only been 3 months since Ramadan. You see what I'm saying? So, but I'm saying people get into these things, astaghfirullah, no. You got Ramadan days to make up. Don't fast the shorter. Remember I told you of one of those situations, I don't remember now, it escapes me. I'm trying to remember what I said about, I don't think it was out of fast, but it was a fasting that we do, that you can make your intentions to fast that day and make up another day fast, and you get credit for that day and the day you made up. I forget, I gotta go back over my khutbah, I gotta go back over my notes. But there is such a time of optional fasting that you can make intentions for a makeup day of an obligation during that optional day. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to conclude. I'm going to conclude with 9 virtues of the 10th of Muharram. I have a note here and I'm just going to say it. Some Muslims practice mourning the loss of a loved one. Like say, my father died in 94, which is true. So when Muharram comes along, I get into this funk, I get into this mood and spirit that I'm going to mourn his death over and over again, and I'm wailing and crying and acting a fool. That's an innovation in the religion. But there's some Muslims that are doing that. This idea, it's a weak hadith that says, if I spend more money on my family on the 10th of Muharram, Allah's going to give me more. See, these are things that people put in there, but when you translate or when you trace back the origin of these sayings, we can't confirm them. They're called false hadith or weak hadith. So I'm not going to even get into that, because that was one of the, my research, the guy said, I'm going to give you 10 virtues. Well, I took that one off. I'm only going to give you 9. Because the 10th, this idea of providing for your family on that day, is an innovation. What is number one, as I conclude? Number one, it is a sacred month. We've already said that. Number two, Musa alayhi salam and his people were saved on that day. Number three, Prophet Noah alayhi salam, ark rested at the Mount Judah on that day. Number four, the prophet would fast on that day, and he encouraged his community to do the same. Number five, fasting on that day prior to the coming of the verses with Ramadan was mandatory or obligatory prior to those verses, and then they were abrogated. Number six, the prophet recommended that the believers fast that day. I already said that. Number seven, it is the best day after Ramadan. Make note of that, because this is reported by Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet gave special attention and guarded that. It is, he called it the best fast after the fast of Ramadan. Number eight, the Prophet made the day of Ashura a priority for him. And number nine, it is an expiation of all of our minor sins the year before. So brothers and sisters, because of the timeliness of us entering our new year and the 10th of Muharram close upon us, and some of the inquiries that the believers are given, or the understanding that they have, I felt this was a timely message, timely information. And these are the things that we need to know. Some of these things are fundamental. You know, sometimes I struggle with giving the esoteric meaning to things more times than just giving the basic principle or idea. Instead of telling you the philosophy around Salat, let me just tell you, Salat is one of the five pillars of Al-Islam. Sometimes we need that. And the imams in our association, a lot of times they're going off all into this heavy knowledge, and I'm guilty too, brother, this heavy knowledge. And then the people wonder, do you know what the six articles of faith are? Do you know what the five pillars are? Do you know we're supposed to fast in Ramadan and make five prayers a day? I don't never hear you teach about that. Yes, we know that. Because see, they think that the imam card is suspect, you know, that you got it online or something. You know how you could do. You could become an ordained minister online. I go online and get my imam's card. No, this is tried and tested. We got the battle scars to prove it. So yeah, you can ask me those fundamental things. And I'm going to end on saying this. You know, there's some people that still disparage this community. And they propagate lies about us that we still have the same beliefs of the Nation of Islam and things like that. And they have an opinion of us and your imam without ever asking me, what do you believe? Do you believe Fard is Allah in the person? You understand? And this is Satan. This is the sin that people do. That they won't come to you and confirm information. They just take what they hear and they run with it. And I can tell you, it's been a few years, sisters and brothers, but this happened to me. I was at one of the immigrant messiah, I think I was at the MCECC. And a brother, this was like in the year 2014 or 2015, he came up to me and said, where's y'all, where y'all meeting at, where's your mosque, etc. I told him where we was at. He said, now, are you all with Farrakhan? Are you still practicing the nation? This is 2014. Man, we turned that page so long ago. And we thank Allah for that experience. We value that experience. And we thank Allah for the next level and the next elevation to the clear light, the Quran, and the most excellent human model, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahu Akbar.